so much easier to ascend and to descend. Our scripture passage today comes from the 9th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. I will begin reading at the 23rd verse. Then Jesus said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he or she must deny himself or herself, take up his or her cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his or her life will lose it. But whoever loses his or her life for me will save it. What good is it for a man or a woman to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit his or her very soul? If anyone is ashamed of me or of my words, then the Son of Man will be ashamed of him or her when he or she comes into his, that is, the Son of Man's glory, and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I will tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brenda and I used to enjoy watching movies together. Sometimes we would go to the theater to watch them. We had a pretty extensive collection of DVDs and predecessors to DVDs. And we particularly enjoyed watching Hallmark movies together. Both of us were kind of suckers for the love stories that are on there, even though they're pretty much the same plot before it's all over. But I have a large collection of them that I have saved on my dish TV, and I watch them over and over and over again. Some of them I can even say the lines before it happens, but I like movies. One of the movies that we enjoyed years ago and still watch sometimes is called A League of Their Own. Don't know if you remember seeing that, but it was a popular movie based on Major League Baseball for women in the 1940s. Now, in one powerful scene in the movie, the star catcher of the Rockford Peaches threatens to quit. She's tired. She's worn out. She's worried about her husband who has gone to war. And she's ready to throw in the towel. I don't know about you, but I'm there every once in a while. Life just gets hard. And just want to quit. Well, she was by far the best player in the league. Her manager tried to talk her out of it by saying this: "Major League Baseball is supposed to be hard. If it weren't hard, everybody would do it." And then he says this: "Hard is what makes it great." I think the same thing could be said for Christian discipleship. Hard is what makes it great. Hard is what makes the disciple different. It isn't easy to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. In the scripture passage that I read to you a few moments ago, in the 23rd verse, we find God's call to discipleship. He says, "If anyone would come after me, he or she must deny himself or herself and take up his or her cross daily and follow me." Did you hear that? Listen again. If anyone would come after me, he or she must deny himself or herself and take up his or her cross daily and follow me. And not only is that not easy, it is impossible unless God does a great work of grace in us and through us. I am delighted. Well, let me back up. I've told you previously, I love words, and I like to play with words, and I like to use words. And I am delighted to be the pastor at Grace Point. And my prayer is that in and through this church, it will be a point of grace in your life. A place where you can experience that power of God that changes people and institutions. That power that enables us to be and to become the person God has made us to be, and allows us to live abundant lives on this earth. The text begins with an if. If any want to become my disciples. Did you ever think about that little two-letter powerful word, if? It's conditional. It's uncertain. Maybe you say yes, and maybe you say no. But it requires a yes, and unless you say yes, the answer is no by default. And so I would say to you this morning, if you want to be a disciple, make up your mind. Decide. One of the great lacks of persons who call themselves Christian, when it comes to Jesus Christ and his claims on their, our lives, is not more indoctrination. We've been indoctrinated again and again. It's more than just attending worship services. It's more than listening to more sermons, although I hope every once in a while to deliver a good one. It's a lack of decisiveness. Maybe you'll say yes, and maybe you will say no. Luke chapter 9 ends with a paragraph in which Jesus actually seems to discourage three people who say they want to become disciples. That's strange, isn't it? That Jesus would discourage somebody instead of encouraging them? Well, the first one of these three men sounds good. He says, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, Jesus, however, senses that he's not quite ready yet to make the sacrifice that is demanded by discipleship. His answer to the second man, let the dead bury the dead, seems harsh. But upon further examination, we realize why Jesus warned as he did. What the man was saying is, I will follow you when and after my father dies. He missed the urgency of the call. The third man said, well, okay, let me just go home first and say goodbye to everybody. It wasn't his family holding him back. It was his indecision. There have been times in my life when God has challenged me at the point of my discipleship. And it happens in different places and in different ways, but sometimes it's in a service of worship like this, and God gets my attention about something, and he asks me to respond, and somehow, like some of the old mules, I wear out more holding back straps than I do reins going forward. How many times I've been grateful at the point of the invitation in a service that I had a hymn book that I could get out and fumble with so I didn't have to listen to what God was saying. At least we put it up on the screen, so. If you want to be a disciple, it's going to cost you something. It's progressive, like what I shared with the children. Doesn't all happen at one time. And one commitment is not enough. The greatest commitment in my life, initial commitment that I've made, was to Jesus Christ to be my Savior and Lord. The second such commitment, almost 58 years ago, I made to Brenda. But I want you to know, if there had not been any follow-through, if I hadn't taken the I do that I said at the altar of the church when I married her and plugged it into life, we wouldn't have lasted 58 years together. So there's a constant call to discipleship, and we have to make up our minds. Jesus then says, give up yourself. Anyone who would come after me must deny himself or herself. Oh boy. I get in trouble with that one. I think I told you this in a sermon previously, but I want to tell you again. My email account, or my address, is cashdepost@AOL.com. CashDepost. There's a letter missing. Did you notice what it is? It's I. I wish I could get the I out of my life as easy as I got it out of my email address. It's hard to give up ourselves. When we become Christian, we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, but we don't give him everything at first. Fortunately, though, he takes that into consideration, and he doesn't reveal to us all at one time everything that's wrong with us. If I had seen at the moment of my conversion everything that was wrong with me, I would have exploded. But he wants to lead me along. He wants to give me what I need in order to constantly be transformed into His image. I was a history minor in college. And I got to take a course entitled Contemporary History from World War II forward. And this was in 62 when I took the class. So the war hadn't been over that long. And my professor for that class was amazing. His name was General Brown. And he had been an aide to MacArthur during the Second World War. And so when he was teaching contemporary history, he was teaching not out of what he had learned, as I was trying to, from a book and other people, but he was teaching out of his own experience. And when we retook the Pacific during World War II, I'm told, and he talked about how they would establish beachheads. Just a small area of ground, maybe no more than 20 yards wide and 20 yards deep. And they would set up a fortress around that, and then gradually they would move forward until they conquered the whole island. That's the way it happens with Jesus. We give him a beachhead. Then we spend the rest of our lives following him and allowing him to control more and more of our hearts and minds. But too often we're resistant. Too often we're not willing to take the next step. But if you read the stories of people in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, who sought God and followed God, you would find out that they had something in common. They were all surrendered people. There's an old gospel hymn. We sing it sometimes. And it says, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him and in His presence daily live. Third, if we want to be disciples, we must take up our cross. Now, isn't it pretty? Unusual, but pretty. Some of you in here probably are wearing a cross necklace. I look on the back wall, I see a multicolored cross. You look up here and you see a rustic cross. And the cross is the symbol of our faith, but we forget it's a place of execution. A place of death. To get closer and closer to God, we've got to die more and more to ourselves. Maybe it's like Jesus was saying, if I could use contemporary language, tie a noose around your neck. Strap yourself in an electric chair. Stand before a firing squad. And follow me. It's a place of death. Peter, James, the list of the disciples go on and on that actually gave their physical lives at some point for Jesus. There are people around the world today that are giving their lives, literally, for Jesus. I've talked to you about my nephew and niece serving in Taiwan. If you read or listen to the news, you know that China's thinking about annexing Taiwan, wanting to, and there's all kinds of tensions going on there. Yesterday, Brenda and I went to the theater. We went to see Fiddler on the Roof. It's a story of the persecution of Jews in Russia. After it was over, the man that played Tevye, the lead character, spoke to us very candidly and from his heart. And he said, what you just saw is happening today in the Ukraine. Kind of tough to think about and to listen to. But when we lay our lives on the line for Jesus, we can expect not only to face death, but to need to experience death in our own lives. There's some things in me that need to die. I get angry far too often. I get anxious far too often. And the more those things die out in my life, the more Jesus can live in and the greater difference He can make. Now let me say that we can't take up the Savior's cross. That's not what He's talking about. There's only one person in all of history that could die on that kind of a cross for the sins of the world. So what is the disciples' cross? Well, many people think it's anything in life that's difficult. If you have a hangnail, that's the cross you have to bear. I don't think that's what he means. I think what he means is to bear your cross is to do that from which we could escape. To do that we could avoid, but for the sake of Christ, we don't. Make up your mind. Take up your cross. Keep up your discipline. If anyone would come after me, he or she must deny himself or herself, take up his cross, her cross, daily. I've already said, as Christians, we don't emerge full blown. We're born as babies. I held a little 7-week-old dachshund puppy in my hands last night. And she just cuddled up in my arms and wet on me. Going back this afternoon to pick that little puppy up and take her home. But she's a little puppy. And at least I want her to grow enough that she can be housebroken. But I don't want her to stay that little puppy. And so I've got to cuddle her, and I've got to feed her, and I've got to take care of her, and I've got to train her, and I've got to teach her, and I've got to show her so that she can learn to become what she needs to be. And I can't do it tomorrow, today, and come back next week and try to do it again. I've got to do it today, and again today, and again today, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow. And You know what I'm talking about. And so there needs to be a dailiness to our Christian faith. There was a dailiness to Jesus' faith. And time again, the disciples found him in his lonely place where he went to seek fellowship with God. If Jesus needed that, we do so much more. And so that's why I've been encouraging all of us to have some kind of a daily devotional life. I hope you read your newsletter. And if you do, you will find in the newsletter that I have started printing a set of daily scriptures. If you would choose to follow them, it will give you a plan. You don't have to use that, but you need to use something that not only will put you into the Word, but that will put you into faith documents. We have upper rooms out on the table. When I meet with the men on Tuesday morning, I'm going to introduce them to a book called Common Life that was written by Tony Dungy, a former professional football player and former NFL coach who was the coach of the winning Indiana Colts a few years ago. And talking about life and growing in faith. And we need that every day. We need the small group fellowship that comes, and right now we have a Sunday morning fellowship group that's studying the I Ams of Jesus, the God we can know. And beginning Wednesday night, a Bible study on the book of Ephesians, which is one of the more powerful letters of the Apostle Paul. And so we need something that daily brings us into contact with Christ. And finally, if we would be disciples, we need to follow up our allegiance. If anyone would come after me, let he or she deny himself or herself, take up his or her cross daily and follow me. One day Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee and saw a couple of sets of brothers. And he said to them, follow me. And for Simon, Andrew, James, and John, who knew fishing, responded to Jesus' call to be made fishers of men. And they left everything to follow him. It was a summons to the front line. There's a legend told about a rich merchant who searched the world looking for the Apostle Paul. The merchant finally found Timothy, who in turn introduced him to Paul. After they had visited for a long time, the merchant was excited and he said to Timothy, I've never met a man, I've never met anyone like Paul. He's the most amazing man I've ever known. He's so serene yet powerful. He's done so much, given so abundantly, sacrificed so greatly, helped so many people. Tell me his secret. I want to be like him. Timothy said, don't you know his secret? And the man said, no, I don't. Timothy said, the secret is he is a committed disciple of Jesus Christ. The merchant said, is that all? And Timothy said, it's everything. If, make up your mind, anyone would come after me, give up yourself. Take up your cross. Follow up, give up yourself. Take up your cross. Do it daily. Keep up your discipline. And follow up your allegiance. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.